Okay, so today is late April 1st, going into April 2nd. And this is the Asia Pacific call. And tonight we're going to be discussing pretty much everything in general. We can talk about the regular questions and answers for the Zoom call. We can do questions and answer for any of the spiritual questions that we do on Sunday night. And we can answer any of the questions and answers on the phase documents, anything else that seems to fit in as we go along as well. So we're pretty open, as you know, in terms of all that kind of stuff. So let's open it up. And any questions that you're not clear on?
Not so far, because I've only really just become aware of your offer, you know, the way you've structured it. So as I said, I just filled in the first questionnaire and I've been trying to work my way.
Okay.
I think I'll have to get printouts of things so I can do hard copy, whatever, you know, on them. Mm-hmm. Not behaving, even though it's a new one. No one can seem to get to make it work. So we'll have to do something about that. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I haven't got any major questions. You know, I haven't had time to look up Jared's videos yet. I want to have a look and see what kind of, you know, how the product or products look, etc. So there's a, from what I understand, there are more products than just the med bed. Is that correct?
You're talking ET technologies, extraterrestrial technologies. That's what you're talking about. There's about 6,000 plus patents going to be released soon. Those ET technologies will include med beds or celestial chambers, which we'll be providing. We're going to try and get a food replicators or product replicators and de-replicators, anti-gravitational devices, teleportation devices. Shrinking devices, all that kind of stuff. That's probably four or five of them right there. So yeah. That'll give you a good idea what's coming. Lots of good, interesting technology. 3D holographic technology. Just think, do you watch Star Trek at all?
I don't. I'm a real watcher. But I'm very familiar with all the technologies that you're describing that are being repressed, et cetera.
Yeah.
I've immersed myself in this stuff for a long time. So I'm quite a newbie. So I'm thinking what kind of – the one thing I don't have is any insight into how long it's going to take before we actually things ignite. And I know now with Trump going down the route of, you know, getting arrested, et cetera, it's going to expedite matters. But I was just wondering if you have any more clarity on things than I do.
Not really. It's we don't have much information, just like, you know, like everyone else. Us as a group, we basically share all the information that we get. So any of the other you know, members that come on board, they might share, you know, something that we don't know, or they'll post in main chat or whatever. But you know, like, no one really knows a date or time. I mean, we can speculate as a date and time and that kind of stuff, but what we really try to do is look at the puzzle pieces from a high profile, and look at the map that way. In doing so, you get to see a bit of the pieces of the puzzle, and you're not going to see all the puzzle pieces right away until you've been into the game a long time, like myself. I've been in it now about 15 years. So I don't see everything, but I see most of the stuff. And I have an idea what's going on, but I don't necessarily know the order in which they're going to do them. Because sometimes we have to remember that the military, U.S. military, is in charge of all this, and the military does not divulge their intentions unless it's misinformation or disinformation.
thank God for that. I've got people that I've been helping along in the last 4 or 5 years, and you know, and they'll go, but you know, so and so lied when they said, oh, it didn't come true. I said, you honestly believe that you're that special?
that you're that important to this whole concept that you have to be told the truth about everything. And so my standard response to people has been, darling, you're watching a movie.
That's right. That's a hard thing, concept for people to get to understand, that there's two narratives going on simultaneously, right?
Or ten narratives.
Well, it could be, yeah, for sure. The analogy I sort of give them is like right now, we know that our world dollar, the fiat currency, is dying. And behind the scenes, there's a new currency. The gold-backed currency is now in place with the QFS. So think of it that way. You know, we have two narratives going on at the same time.
Absolutely. And then I find it very interesting. I have you just slapped us into shape again, Georgia. You slapped us into shape again. Yeah, but you got to say, you know, this is where we've been hoodwinked into believing that everything that comes out of the black box, the barking box, you know, the thing called a tele-lie vision, is telling you the truth. And it ain't telling you the truth. So people still get miffed, you know, when someone says something and doesn't come true. And I go, but guys, slap. You know?
Well, the other thing is, what you can tell them about that is just tell them that sometimes they change the calendar that we're on. Okay, so
we've discussed. Yeah.
Right. So sometimes we're on the Gregorian calendar, and sometimes we're on the Julian calendar, and sometimes they stick in the Ethiopian calendar or whatever. Correct. It is.
Exactly. I know. I've explained all to them. You know, they sort of lapse. They're like lapsed Catholics. They keep coming back. I'm sorry, Luna. You're a Catholic, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I was raised Catholic and went to Catholic school for 8 years, but I'm definitely not Catholic.
Okay.
No organized religion for this girl, boy. I didn't even baptize my children, and I'm the oldest in my family, so that was not a very good thing, right, for an Italian.
Luna used to tell me horror stories how she used to give the priest a little bit of lip sometimes.
A little bit of lip, a lot of lip. He dismissed me. He said that a 12-year-old girl shouldn't be asking questions. I was quizzing him about, and I knew what he was going to say to me, right? That was a lie, which was purgatory. That's a place where, I don't know if you remember, but that is a place where.
I do remember it well.
You do, because they drilled it into us, right? That's where babies go that you don't baptize, right? So my whole thing at 12 years old was, that's not my God, right? My God doesn't punish a child for the sins of a parent, right? Or for the, because they didn't know any better or whatever, right? And little did I know that I would grow up and be one of those parents who did not baptize their children.
whatever. Luna, my friend Maureen is here, and so she's going to be able to participate in the webinar with us. Oh, good.
Okay. And we got Glenn that joins us from New Zealand.
Yeah, and what we'll do is I might dial it up on my laptop so she can see both of you more clearly, because it's only my phone. So I'll dial out and I'll come back. Okay.
All right.
Bye. Bye, Georgia.
Yeah. And then there were three, all the important people.
There you go.
How you doing? You're looking good. You're looking rested.
Thank you. I missed the call this morning because of daylight savings. We've gone back an hour during that night.
Yeah, we just turned. Yeah.
I would have been 6 o'clock this morning, and I didn't realize, and it was like 7 o'clock. I was like, I'm going to bed. Oh, I think it's already been on now. So I just went to sleep, and then I ended up waking up this afternoon at 2 o'clock. I was like, oh shit, I must have missed it. Now I looked at the time. Oh, 11 o'clock back time.
Yeah,
oh, no, sweet.
Yeah, 3 hours. Yeah. Yeah, Saturday there's two of them, right? Two Zooms. Yeah. So
yeah, it was good.
You look good. You look rested.
Woken
up probably about an hour ago.
What's all that dirt on your face there?
<That's> good,
Are you trying to catch up to me?
Very good.
I'll never catch you, Gia.
Well, he's only chopped it off a few times. You know, you've been around for more than a year, right? That's the longest he's let it go. Usually, you know, it grows that much and then he cuts it, you know?
Yeah.
But not this time. So I don't know what's going on with him.
Well, I'm thinking giving a bit of a tremor, you know.
You do that every day.
I know.
You think about it every day.
Well, it's also a little bit of laziness in there.
I can go about 3 or 4 weeks and then I just trim it off. But my hair on my head is the one that grows real fast.
Well, I don't have to worry about that.
You will after the med beds.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's all right. I know how to cut hair, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I take a bowl size 8.5.
You too. I like that old fashioned one, you know, with the foam in that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the old blade.
The old blade, yeah. He won't let me near him with the blade.
Well, I use a blade, but
I know what I did to you last week. I know what I said. So
when I was in Yellowknife, I went camping. Not camping, I went out for the day with my neighbor who was shooting ducks. And I'd never shot a gun before, right? So I said to him, you know, would you? And he looked at me and he said, "What, you think I'm stupid? Letting a civilian with a gun, right?" Hi, Georgia. Yeah. Hello. Nice to meet you.
I'll just turn up the volume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There we go. Maybe I'll just get up here. Let's make it better, easier. Something's going on here. We don't need that. But can you see us, hear us, everybody?
Yep.
Perfect.
Cool.
We can see you perfect, yeah.
Maureen is the lady I mentioned to you, Luna. She's the very highly trained nurse, and she's also done a psychology degree, and she's got all manner of talents. She's the lady that does the Hunter Bioscan technology, technology, and the facility you work in has got the EE systems, which I've been doing for my stuff as well. So, yeah, that's how I met Maureen, and we started talking and very quickly realized we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
wonderful.
Great. Maureen, it's Luna and George. Sorry, I don't know the other gentleman's name.
Glenn.
Glenn.
Glenn. Hi,
New
Glenn.
Zealand.
Hi.
New Zealand.
From New Zealand.
Hmm. Yeah. Where are you again, Glenn?
Melbourne.
Okay.
No, you are Hawks in Bay. Melbourne,
Hawke's Bay, Havelock North, Hawke's Bay.
Hawke's Bay. Is it North Island or South Island?
North Island.
North Island.
Yeah, on the
East Coast. I've been to North Island. I've been to Taranaki.
Taranaki.
Taranaki? Or
Taranaki. That's the one, Taranaki.
That's the West Coast.
Oh, that's the West Coast.
Glenn is going to have a beautiful bird sanctuary in New Zealand. That's wonderful. His project.
And we're talking about the feathered variety of birds, right? Not the other kind.
Yes.
That's an ambiguous answer.
Well, it's one of those.
Think about that for a second.
Well, if I could speak for him, he's probably in a mode of a little birdie said so.
You couldn't resist that one, could you?
Nope.
Oh, he's too funny. Maureen, do you have any questions at all? Anything you want to know?
Well, no, I've just walked in and I really don't know what it's all about.
So you must feel free. Maureen's been working all week and we've spoken, but Maureen actually works very hard. I am really lazy, you know. I don't work anywhere as hard as Maureen, so we have to sort of maybe give her an update, which is better coming from you than from me, because from me it'll have omissions, so that maybe we can listen again.
So we are a currency and bond group, but we are really a humanitarian group. So just give you a little bit of background. Sorry, Glenn, you're gonna be bored again. as to how WBG, you know, kind of started. So
It's the World Benevolent. It's called the World Benevolence. World
Benevolence Group.
Yeah.
So about 30 years ago, Archangel Michael, who I channel, told me about he would get a group together for me. And at the time I was doing a meditation group, so I just naturally thought that that's what it was going to be. Now 30 years later, 2 years ago, I got up one morning and I said to Gio, it's time for us to collect our tribe. That's what Archangel Michael's message to me was. So I knew what that meant. I knew that it was time for us to get, you know, our expertise was bonds and currencies, and we're very spiritual. So we knew that we'd be able to collect the humanitarians ahead of time, right? Because only the humanitarians, the true humanitarians, will remain with us after the RV, right? And and help us to finish our mission, because Gio and I basically put a call out there to our soul group, bringing them in. And one by one, they all started to come in, and Glenn will attest to this. So many times when people were on, you know, that were new set, and they would say, I don't know how I found you. I have no idea. And over again, it was the same thing, right? And I would tell them, we put the call out. You heard it, even though you aren't consciously aware of it. And then you were guided, you know, to find our group. And so within, I guess it was a two years, we were actually a little bit older than 2 years, but on Telegram, we've been around 2 years. And when we started, we had 40 people. Then I started, he told me to start writing again. I thought he meant my poetry, but no, he wanted me to start writing. And of course I channel him. So humanitarian, anything to do with humanitarians, working from your heart, very spiritual stuff that comes through, right? To help people and to guide. I think Glenn's read a lot of my stuff, and he would attest to it helps, you know, especially during COVID. I think it really was a really good thing to do. But anyway, we went from 40 within a couple of weeks to 500 people.
Wow, well done.
And so that's spirit telling us you're doing the right thing. Keep going the way you're going. So I kept writing, and I've got something like 37 or 38 articles now, and a little bit, some of them are poetry, which I've published on Operation Disclosure and Dinar Chronicles and Voyages of Light. So, and I do that to find people with a vision or a dream, you know, of creating something for humanity, but they don't have, because they live in a third world country, they just don't have the funds, you know, to purchase the currency. And even though the currencies are not very expensive, you know, that $40 or $50 could buy them a lot of food, right? So they're not going to spend it on currency. And so those are the people that when I write, that's what I'm looking for. You know, because we have two types of members in our groups. Georgia and Glenn are both benefactors with projects. Okay. The other people that I spoke about are called associates. And the only difference between them is one has purchased currencies or bonds or both, and the other one has not, so that they will be fully funded by our benefactors. And we have more than just people in our group that are our benefactors. We also have another type of member, which is a whale. We call them a whale because they've got more bonds and currencies that, you know, like after the exchange, that they're really not going to be able to finish it in this lifetime, right? No matter how frivolous they are. So they chose this group to go behind because they like our vision, George's and my vision, and they see that we are going to do a lot of good in the world. One of my passions is children. I'm a former foster mother, and I looked after infants and toddlers primarily, but I also did up to teen girls, 14 years old, 14, 15 years old, for 9 years, and I fostered 62 children. So, and some of them got adopted, right? So That's a really big thing. So for me, the orphanages are something that I'm going to purchase and find homes for kids, permanent homes. And I know that's a big job, but I've got some very benevolent benefactors who are going to fully fund me in this endeavor. So we got to get rid of them because we never want to happen what's happened in our world again to our children. So
absolutely. I don't
know. Yeah. So you know about the trafficking and all that, right? Mm-hmm. So they were part of the trafficking ring and were actually set up and kept all those kids while I was growing up. There were people growing up in those orphanages when they could have had even just one parent to love them, one person in their corner, you know, to see them through. I'm a little bit, not only do I love children, but I really have a heart for the kids that, you know, age out of the system. They just toss them out. They give them $1,000 only if they go to school. Otherwise, they don't get anything. And most of them aren't trained to do anything but go into retail. And I don't know how they can support themselves. Well, they don't, because within, they say 3 months, I say within 1 month, they're on the street. So they become the homeless. And that's another area that WBG is really passionate about, which is to get everybody not only fed, but off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So those are like three of our biggest big missions besides growing hemp. That's another really big thing. We're going to all the homes that we're going to do. We're going to do them all eco-friendly, all basically, you know, with the materials from the hemp. Because I don't know if you know that hemp has 50,000 uses. So it does. Hempcrete is actually stronger than steel.
About double the strength.
Double strength, but it's also insulates as well as cools. So it acts like we won't need air conditioning, right? So it does both. And it's also it can't get wet.
Yes, what's waterproof and fireproof. Waterproof.
Hydrophobic. It's hydrophobic.
Yeah, and fireproof as well.
Yeah.
So it's an incredible, we hope to eventually just build all of our homes in nothing but either bamboo, depending on where we're doing the homes, right? Because we can't build the kind of homes that are in North America on an island, let's say. I mean, we can, but we want it to look, you know, like not just eco-friendly, but to kind of fit the environment, right, that it's in. So I think bamboo homes are also something that we're going to be looking into. So
The bamboo isn't as eco-friendly as hemp, though. It's a far better product. You can actually 3D print with hemp, whereas you can't with bamboo. And these technologies, I think, that we're flirting with at the moment are going to be very inclined to all that 3D printing technology. So
That technology is already here.
Probably have a barge rocking out to all these islands and 3D printing stuff off the barge or something.
Ship it over.
But you'll have that liquid in the barge and have a 3D printer in situ and then move on to another one.
So
there you go. That's your first concept.
Lots of exciting things, you know, coming up. We have 6,500 patents that are going to be released when Jasara is announced. I'm sure you've heard of Jasara Nasara. And apparently today is supposed to be the day that it is actually supposed to be announced, although none of us have heard of it yet. But people are saying that they're receiving already monies in the U.S. anyway.
There's apparently the whole a vast number of people, about 1,000 actually flying into Reno.
I heard.
Payouts, yeah.
Yeah, for payouts. So we'll see if that actually transpires. We should probably know that by tomorrow.
But I just mortgaged my house and bought a whole lot of yellow Chinese dragon bonds.
Bonds, did you?
Bonds, yeah. So,
That's too bad. I could have got those for you. Okay.
Sorry?
I could have got those for you from one of our contacts in Italy.
I'm still happy. I bought four lots of them. I don't, I mean, I'm happy to talk to you, you know, see if I can get some more. Be mm-hmm. interesting to compare one to the other, because the ones I got, if I'm not happy with them, I can return them mm-hmm. if they don't work, for example. Mm-hmm. So I don't, because, you know, that's, I mean, you're buying this stuff on, you know, a wing and a prayer.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, there's in the back office, there's a list of all the types of bonds that are going to be accepted. I think there's 167 of them, or 267 different types of bonds. That's never mind the currency. I'm just talking bonds alone.
Bonds I never even heard of. So, and I've been in this game for, 11 years, 15 almost for Geo. Mm-hmm. So we've pretty much heard it all. But some of these new bonds that people are talking about, never heard of them. Mm. But they're accepted. So basically, that's really the gist of, you know, how we sort of came to be. And it's working. Just for 2,200 strong. So, you know, and even if we have just a small portion of that, it'll be the true humanitarians. There's a lot of them that are in our group, not just our group, but many of the other groups as well that are out there, are only in it just basically for the money. They'll take the back screen rate and they're going to run, right?
No.
That's assuming that technology that's going to read our hearts is true. Right, because then they won't get their funds. So
I'd be surprised. If Schumann Resonance can pick up worldwide, how you resonate, it's going to pick up. I'm sure that we have no idea how much we've been kept in the dark ages.
Nothing's going to surprise us. Will surprise us.
Humanity is about 300 to 350 years behind in technology. That's what how much it's been.
I think it's 350,000 years behind in technology. That's how much.
Yeah, in terms of ET technology, that's correct. But I'm just talking in
that
general.
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. In general, with
once Jassara happened. We're going to flip into a galactic society. And I don't think many of the people, what we call the sleepers, are going to be ready for that shock. I mean, it's bad enough they've been lied to. Everything's falling down around them and they didn't even know.
They don't even realize even now. There are a lot of people that even now don't notice that the wheels are falling off everything.
But that's what I'm saying. When they wake up, and they realize that all these institutions are all gone. Every store that they knew of, you know, that they were used to shopping in isn't going to be there anymore. None of the brand name, you know, stores are going to be around.
I have enough clothes to clothe everybody.
we'll have to remember that. we're actually going to create our own line of sports sportswear, because I believe that we're going to be a much more not just healthy but fit society.
That's scary, Luna. I have a disease that can't be fixed.
Yeah,
it's called LLL disease.
Yeah.
LLL.
LLL, lazy, lazy, lazy.
Well, we can cure that. We just got to get someone to light a fire under your butt. you'll get moving.
You know what? Once she comes out of the med bed, she'll be a brand new person. You will.
I'll be running the three minute mile.
Well. You know, and I'm not saying that everybody's going to be, you know, in that mode, but I do think that a lot in the generation that's coming up after us, right, is definitely
wake them up first, Luna.
That's what we will. I'm assuming they're awake at this point.
Yeah. One of the things that we're going to be doing, WBG, is teaching people how to transition from a 3D. Drama-based situation to a 5D unity consciousness situation where we're working from our heart instead of our head and ego.
Yeah. Or trying to, you know, carve out a living for ourselves so we can pay our bill, which is just our electric bill and put food on our table. Like nothing really much, but, you know, all that's going to be a bad dream. We're not going to remember where we're going. There's going to be so much abundance for us that, you know, money isn't really going to matter to us. We're just going to live our lives. And really, basically, I think that's what we should be doing. What people had a hard time, including myself, trying to wrap their head around the zeros, you know, and especially in the Zim. When I was first introduced to the Zim, it was 2013. And honestly, my mind didn't even want to go there to think about those zeros. Okay. And try and make sense out of it. Didn't even want to go to the point now where I've realized something about a year and a half ago. I realized that God is answering my dream. The only wish I've ever had that I actually verbally asked him for was to be able to write a check and not have to check my checkbook. So I was a single mom for 17 years. And that was one of the things that, you know, even at the grocery store, sometimes I didn't know if I was going to have enough, you know, that if I didn't check my account before I went in to do my groceries, to put myself, you know, in sort of, you know, to spend $200 or whatever it was that I had. It was horrible, you know, and nobody should have to do that. I mean, I was luckier than most people. I think in this side of the world, we are very lucky.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't had the poverty in the same way, say, Africa, you know, but that was also planned, right? Everything, every country, the way they are, was planned. It was all planned. But the greedier the governments or the powers that be, right, were, the more the poverty was in your face, right? Anyway, we're here to right all those wrongs and make life amazing for not just humanity in general, but families, you know, and bringing them back. So that's one of the things with WBG. Our foundational principles are mind, body, spirit. So everything, all of our projects, keep that in mind, right? And families, anything to unite families, to do things together. It's just something that is, you know, what that matters to us. And I think
we only have one rule, and that's do no harm. Don't hurt, harm, or hinder anybody, any animal, Mother Earth, anything, right?
Currently we have, as far as projects goes, I have about 170, but most of the projects that people are doing in our group are either retreats, healing retreats. For example, I was telling Georgia this the other night, which was healing retreats, like an artist teaching retreat. So you could go there on a vacation for, say, a week, and you would basically be with an artist, a fine art, whatever. It could be a sculptor, she could be just a fine artist. And she would, you know, help you to bring that out in you. And I believe that there'll be a lot more people wanting that as the vibration raises. So that's just one of the retreats, but there's many. A lot our nurses are stepping up to take care of our elderly who aren't going to go in the med beds. There are a lot of them. They're going to want to live out their life here and leave whenever, whether that's
when they're 90 or 100. I was speaking to my mother this morning. I went to see her. She's 93 and she's disabled. She's got Parkinson's. And I was playing her the Acacia Foundation video on their medbed option, because it has a video that shows a Chinese man and the first 60 days of the therapy, and specifically on Parkinson's, you know. So, and I said to her, you know, you will be able to walk. You will be able to, you know, mm-hmm. And she was so ambivalent. And I said, Mum, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. You're 93, but you're not going to die. I said, you probably wake up and you'll be 70 and we'll have to find you a husband. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and she watched it. I had to put on slow, you know, because it was at, I hadn't, because I watch everything at double speed.
Yeah.
She asked me if I'm a robot. when I watch my stuff at double speed. Anyway, so I played it really slowly for her, and she got it. I mean, she can read English too, which is helpful. Mm-hmm. Self-taught, by the way, you know, 93, self-taught.
Yeah, wow.
English. And, so she's, when she said to me, I said, Mum, and you realise, I know I'm showing you this technology and it's not just a pie in the sky because it's real, but we've also, your daughter's also found an unending source of money to fund this stuff and give it away for free, not just to you, Mum. She goes to me, you're going to give it away to the whole community as well, my darling. She knew that. She said, that's wonderful. She really didn't focus on her. She focused on the fact that it was going to go to the whole community.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Yeah, it is beautiful.
Well, that's one of the WBG's ultimate goals, and that is to aid in the removal of all forms of money from the planet completely. Mm-hmm. And we're expecting, and the reason why we're doing that is very simple. Once the replicators come on board,
you don't need money.
Yeah. So if you want a dinner, you just replicate it, and it's there in a couple seconds. Or if you want a new dress, you just replicate it. A new coach, whatever you want.
You won't be able to get my jewelry, though. I've decided the replicators won't be able to work out how to do it.
That's true.
That's really good. I mean, and you know, the replicators actually work off a periodic table, Geo? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because everything is made from those elements on the periodic table.
That's right.
And they have concealed a couple of elements off the periodic table. Hydrogen's not there. Ether's not there. God knows, I'm a no science person. If I know that, then there must be a whole heap of other ones that have been placed on the periodic table that we're going to need. So
yeah, they have a thing called it's all done from particles. At a molecular level.
Subatomic level.
So everything. So they have a particle generator and a degenerator. So you can disassemble or assemble all the atoms or whatever it is. Put them all in the correct order, and it's all done electronically, and it's very cool.
It's actually so cool. Who thought, you know, when I was a kid watching science fiction that I actually would be seeing that stuff? You know, I always believed it was here. It was hidden, but I always knew it was here. I didn't know who kept it from us until I got a little older and then realized that there was this 1% that was hoarding everything. And
they were telling us in the movies what was going on. And people would sit there and say, that's a really good movie, science fiction movie. And I said, yeah, but it's, where did they get that idea from? Where did you think about this?
That's
where
right.
Somebody thought about it. And I went, yeah, right. Okay.
I found it really strange that all my life I've been saying to people, guys, we're the first generation to be born that's never going to die. And I was saying that to people when I was 7, 8, 9. I can remember. And, you know, they'd look at me, and I remember, because I've said it consistently, obviously it came from some, I mean, I think I mentioned to you, Luna, you know, the generation that I was, I think I was at the tail end of a golden era of education where they hadn't really started to package things and simplify them, modularize them, et cetera. So I was given the privilege of a bit of critical thinking, analytical thought, you know, baseline literature that hadn't been censored and edited yet. And therefore it created this animal, this beast that's never stood still.
And it was our generation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But straight after, you know, like I think I was watching Lee Merritt, which is one of your Lee Merritt, and she said, I think she's my age, she might be 1 or 2 years younger, but she said that straight after she finished her medical degree, they changed the course.
Yeah.
Because for her to graduate, she had to be able to look at the blood of a patient under a microscope and do her own analysis. But they took that out of the course the year after she graduated. So everybody else that's been produced as a doctor since then has no knowledge about looking at someone's blood or diagnosing it in any way, shape, or form, because it's been outsourced to a third party.
That's crazy.
So this is where they've dismantled it.
Yeah, it's just like doctors, North American doctors. I don't know if it's the same with other doctors around the world, but all doctors get about 15 minutes of health nutrition.
Nutrition.
That's it. 15 minutes.
Remember, they're not there to make you better. They're actually there to push pills.
That's right. They just write a script. They've got that book. We call it a MIMS book in Australia. I don't know if it's MIMS.
Our doctors, medical system, are the real drug pushers.
Yeah, exactly. They are.
They absolutely are. They're drug pushers, legal drug pushers.
And they have no idea about anything therapeutic for curing. No.
And they don't want to hear it.
Everybody gets cured.
And they don't want to hear it. My family doctor, I'm very blessed. He knew I knew more than he did. And he never got his pad out to write me a script because he knew I wouldn't take it. And I never did. So I would go to him when I couldn't figure out something, right? I just needed to pick his brain to see what in the end, I would still always realize that I knew more than he did. So why was I going there? So I stopped.
The only reason why I go to a doctor is maybe to get a diagnosis or something that I can't figure out, and once they figure it out, then I can treat it holistically.
That's it. Now you realize that the equipment they were using was all antique stuff, and it was there to harm you even more. It wasn't for diagnosing. It was to give you gamma rays or, whatever, right? And all that stuff now has been removed.
They must have placed fraudulent antiquities in the antiquities that they've got on display in Greece, for example, because they have a whole medical section, which is supposedly taken out of ancient sites where they've got syringe-type things. So I'm thinking...
The same stuff of today.
Our engineering, because if you look at the Antikythera clock, etc., we had very sophisticated engineering. But there's no representation of injectables in antiquity, right? And you would have had to have had very, very precisely. I mean, I know the engineering was really precise, because for the Antikythera clock, I don't know if you know the Antikythera clock.
Yeah.
It was discovered in 1902, Well, the technology that's gone into that is very, very sophisticated. At Oxford, they can only see the fine details under an electron microscope, so that's how sophisticated technology was. But there's no way that they could have produced those fine needles to do the kind of work that we're talking about for injectables. So that would have been product placement so that we think, oh, they did it then. Yeah, of course it's normal, yeah. Mm. The whole thing has been a construct.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's extraordinary. Maureen and I are really interested in, as I mentioned to you, for taking on the establishment, the medical establishment in our state to begin with. I don't think we could take over a whole of Australia day one.
So
we could take over but we have to find the right connections, and I don't know if we're going to be able to do it through our group here, or we have to do it some other way, so that, as I've mentioned, through the military, if we've got connections anywhere that way, so that we could participate in a meaningful manner in this state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And nobody really knows how it's going to be rolled out, the med beds, other than I've been told that there's supposed to be a 1-800 number that you're going to call and you'd be put on the list by priority, right? Mm-hmm. So they'll figure out where on that list you belong after the children from the DUMS, which I'm pretty sure they're done. I mean, there may still be some, but the bulk of them have been done. Military personnel, obviously, that were under the DUMS as well, they also have had priority. And then after that, it's people who are dying with either cancer or, you know, other life-threatening illnesses. And then it's humanitarians. Then we're in. So that would be a question that you would ask when you go exchange. Okay.
I'm going to try and keep it brief when I go to the first meeting so that I don't, you know, I mean,
You got a half an hour.
They're not going to be overloaded with too much information. They need to get the gist, like a pitch deck. You know, you've got an elevator pitch for 4 minutes in an elevator. You've got someone, yeah. You've collared them. You've got to get them up. We give them the information we want them to have so that at least we make an impression on them of to who, what, when, where, and why.
Yeah.
How? You know, we know we're obviously, you know, as I said, I've been buying bonds and trying to position myself so that there may not be enough bonds there. I don't know. Who knows what the cost model is going to be. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so that we could sort of take a bit of a lead. Because I don't know how many people in my state are active at that level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many humanitarians are interested in even funding anything in this state. So that's why I thought I'd, you know, the world's a big place. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to be putting their hands up. So... Mm.
Well, one of the things that we have to be aware of is there are a lot of other groups out there, and WBG is one of the smaller groups, but we are, I believe, we're the only group that has a post-RV infrastructure of any degree. So a lot of these other groups, although there's, you know, there's a couple of, you know, 20,000, 50,000, 100,000 members after the RV, they're basically going to either have to pair up with themselves with a couple of the other members to do the projects with no support other than themselves, or look for a group like us who will provide that support. Yeah.
Gio, one of the groups I was previously, and I'm still, you know, they're nice, normal people. It's the Lobster Collective. They're quite active. They've got, I can't remember, maybe 30,000, 40,000, I don't know, people that have subscribed. But, and they were quite avuncular and encouraging people to donate XLM into different projects. So they collected, I don't know, I haven't paid attention recently, but it was an awe-inspiring amount of money, like in the form of XLM. And I said to them, you know, like with the abundance of caution, that it's not just about aggregating money and good intentions. The knowledge, skills, and attitudes that one has to have in order to actualize projects and make them, you know, to deliver the goods in full and on time is a very profound logistical process that requires quite a lot of acumen, expertise, experience, vision, foresight, human resource management, the whole lot, you know, financial management skills. And I don't think that they understood that. I don't think they got it. I thought that you're quite right with no post-RV, no infrastructure apart from a pile of money. And that has got to be something that must, it'll have to be addressed in some way, shape, or form in a meaningful
way. I'm sure that the White Hats already have a good handle on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. We like our group in particular has already been vetted numerous times by
three times that we know of.
Yeah.
By who? By
the White Hats.
Yeah. We've had Tom Fitton. He's the
Judicial Watch guy.
Yeah, Judicial Watch in United States. We've got what's his name? Still part of our group.
-48.
Yeah, -48. Yeah, yeah.
And JFK Senior.
And JFK Senior.
I know I've followed -48 forever. Yeah. And JFK Senior, I've hoped I'm following him, you know, because I've got no guaranteed way of doing that. But I've been very, very immersed with everything that they've done together, and also Nuano 7, you know, trying to work out which way is up. But yeah, and that's why I was saying to you, Luna, that because of all the industrial experience, when I say industrial, you know, entrepreneurial, et cetera, experience I have, that's why I think I can be of assistance in that way rather than being immersed in any one particular project, even though I may be required for a certain amount of time just to give everybody the infusion, if you like, the infusion of passion or infusion of some skill level, et cetera, to sort of set to seed it.
You will attract the same kind of people for as yourself, right? To help you with those projects. As far as a project manager goes, right? And that's all you need. You need a good project manager and he'll take care of the rest.
Like I was even speaking to someone yesterday, and I said to her, I can't tell you what I'm going to be, how it's going to happen, but when I tap you on the shoulder, I said, you're going to be really happy, and so is your whole family, because I've known them for so long. It's actually my hairdresser. You know, I've been going to the same, going to their home for the last 15 years, and I know their family really well, and, you know, they've got a very interesting range of skills. Their attitude and their supportive nature, they've fostered children, they've done wonderful things with no financial return and without for the benefit of other people's children. And they are very knowledgeable, haven't been befuddled with some what we call formal education, but very talented, very skillful, and have got the right heart set for this. For what we're talking about. So it's just bringing in all those, and I just put out a little flag and I go, it's still on, I just haven't got anything I can talk to you about now, but it's good. I think all of this process has sorted out the number of, you know, the number of people that are left standing are enough to get things moving, because they will too have others, as we said the other day, they'll have other networks that are going to be good. So
going to be interesting.
Any other questions?
No, not at the moment. I'm just taking it all in and listening and formulating and whatever.
We'll give her lots to think about and she'll have questions later.
One of the things that I'm really pleased about is that people have to have a particular attitude, because there's
they have to have
so many heart. People that I'm hearing, I think we'd like to get a med bed. Business people. And I go, nah, not for you, because what are you going to do? You know, the treatment's free. You're not making money off these people. That's right. It's like, oh, I'll just get a med bed in here, you know. No. And I was really pleased when it's like, you know, you've got to get your technicians, they've got to have the right attitude and all the rest of stuff. And then if there's any greed, this ain't going to work. And I love it, absolutely love it. So, I'm really, really pleased that
you will attract all the people like you guys, right? You like people, like-minded people, they'll come. They will come. And in the healing center that you're talking about, you know, you're going to have naturopath, you'll have, I believe that also chiropractors still have a place, even though some people don't agree with me, but I do. I'm an accident victim, so three accidents in 4 years. And I can tell you that initially, they helped me a lot. But then a lot of them, because they're so money-centered, wanted it to continue, and they were no longer doing anything for me. You know, there was just a small window, right? And then I need people like Geo, which are healers, hands-on healers, that actually did more for me to help me walk better, as well as my acupuncturist. For 18 months, I used to see him 3 times a week, and that was a bad week. So that was regular for 18 months, 3 times a week minimum, sometimes 4. But I'm able to walk, and where they told me I would not walk, they told me I'd be in a wheelchair. And when Gio met me, that's what was my diagnosis. You know, doom and gloom. That's all they tell you. They never, ever
Yeah, when I
about when healing,
I,
right?
Yeah, you when know? I met Luna, she was walking around with a cane. I could barely stand.
I couldn't even stand up at the stove to boil water. I couldn't stand up that long. So or fry an egg. You know, yeah. that was about it. And that was like run to go sit down because
So I had to work on her and get rid of all, or at least most of that body memory. And once you get rid of all that, then that sort of opens up a lot of doors.
And I have fibromyalgia and, you know, a whole host of other things, but and a heart condition and epilepsy. And I don't take any medications. I just do CBD oil and some THC when required. And that's pretty much how I've always taken care of myself holistically. With herbs in particular, because that's my strength, but I also know homeopathy very well. You know, I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I am able to take care of myself and those around me. So, I have enough knowledge that I can do that. And, I don't get sick. I don't have the flu or, you know, anything like I can treat myself, with homeopathic stuff so that you don't have to get so sick, right?
One of the things that we have to do is we have to educate the public because they've got a mindset like I am here, heal me. No. It's a two-way street here. We can provide this, but you have to come to the party. You are responsible for your health and you have to play a major part in this. But that's where people are sitting. You know, they've got the magic pill, so I need the pill. I need the pill. No, you don't need the pill.
My mother used to say when this vaccine thing came out, she said it might be the injection that will cure my Parkinson's. I said, it's not going to happen, Mum. It's like an injection, you know, like if there's this whole one-stop, bang.
Yeah.
Even the video I showed her today was a 60-day progress from complete disability to mobility and running, 60 days. Now, I don't know whether the Keisha Foundation technology is outdated now because it was from 2018-19.
Because Parkinson's can be healed in 3 minutes.
Yeah, well, so that means
all illnesses in 3 minutes.
Yeah,
that's all. So that means the technology is in the body, right?
The technology is
tachyon. It's tachyon plasma and, you know, a host of other stuff.
The Tesla type
technology as well. But I don't really care and I don't bother to know all the nitty gritty details. All I know is that it works.
People do have this sort of predisposition for the pill that works, the injection that works.
That's a program, Georgia.
Yeah.
And hopefully that program is going to be gone within a short amount of time after they wake up. Okay. Yeah. And yes, you're right. We do have to teach them how to look after themselves, how to feed themselves again. That's why we have wisdom centers, which were formerly known as our teaching centers, and anything can be taught in that teaching center. It could also be used in a retreat as well. So people can actually go there and immerse themselves in whatever specialty that person who has it is offering.
One of the ET technologies that's going to be available for learning is, now I'm not sure if it's going to be done through a med bed. I think it might be done through a med bed or a celestial chambers. But at any rate, the idea is that you either put a hat on or laying in the chambers, and you can learn a whole bunch of, let's say, languages in a matter of minutes.
I'm there for that. I want them all, okay?
Yeah.
And I want them to good use.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to be a world traveler, right?
Yeah.
So I'm a world thinker.
That's right. Because I don't ever think for just myself. It's always for the masses, right? It's for the world. It's never just for my community. I actually don't think about my community. I always go further out, like you, Georgia, exactly. But we're both Libra, so I think that probably
the same birthday.
Luna,
I shouldn't really talk to Luna because she's a year younger than me.
Oh, right.
Anyone that's younger than me. You
know. Hey, at least I'm younger than somebody. In my world, I'm the oldest.
Everyone that's younger than me is kind of in the naughty corner.
We have a lot to educate them about, and I've certainly come up with the projects to be able to do that. So a lot of those will be storefronts that we'll be able to take over and do pretty quickly, because they're going to be looking for information, you know, and we want to be set up so that, you know, they'll have a place in our local communities in cities all over the world, right? So that they can go in and hopefully get a relationship with World Benevolence Group and learn not just about us, but we can teach them about other things that they don't know.
Yeah, you want to learn. How to fly a helicopter, or you want to learn how to read music, or whatever. You can do it in a matter of minutes.
Or canning, or making jam, or.
I said to people when the quaccinations being offered, and then guys, now look, if they said, Georgia, take this injection and you will be a polyglot, I'd be the first in the queue, right? Or take this injection, you'll be able to play any instrument. I'd be the first in the queue. But don't tell me that this is, you know, a pandemic disease-y thingamy, blah, blah. Not interested. If I come up with a skill, they wouldn't have to have bribed anyone. There would have been a queue from here to Texas, but
they still couldn't see it. They still couldn't see it. And they're asleep, they're really in a slumber, and they planned this, and they did everything ahead of time. Not just the planning of the pandemic, but they knew exactly how to get those people asleep. And so they turned up everything that they could to ensure that we had at least a good portion of the population. I don't think it's near as much as they say that got vaccinated. I never, ever believed the numbers that they were telling us, because they never tell the truth. You know, they say there's 150 million children that are orphaned around the world. I believe that's a lot, lot more than that. At least double, if not triple. So
I'm just scared of who's taking care of those kids today.
And that's my issue as well. So, I want to buy them all up at once, but I need the people to help me, because I want to put my own staff in there.
Yeah, right? And you've got to be careful. It's all again being vetting those people, because I think
I'll be firing all those people that are there. So.
Yeah, like what I said to you with my creative stuff, the art is in the buying, right? Not in the if you don't have red, you can't paint red. And it's the same with your people. They're like the fingers on your hands. If they can't, if they're just inappropriate, it's like you've got a disabled hand. It just doesn't work. This is where I'm hoping some of that technology looks into the hearts of people, might be shared with us, so that we don't end up having to waste opportunities for healing on people that haven't got the right aspirations, you know.
The machine likely won't turn on for them.
Well, that's what we need, first of all,
you can't force anybody into the beds because they won't turn on.
No, I'm just saying the people that we employ have a vetting system. If we could have access to some kind of vetting system that actually helps to see through whether or not we've got some attitudinal issues there,
just hire an intuitive.
It's the 80-20 rule, you know, the Pareto rule. You'll hire 20 good ones and have 80 bad ones, or 80 good ones and 20 bad ones. I don't know. But one way or the other, that rule always applies. So maybe we need to put in a special request for those machines that actually pick up the intentions.
The scanning one. We have to ask.
Most of our workers are all going to be the program people anyway. They reckon that they'll be our best workers because of it. They're so used to repetition. They're so used to the repetition and the programming. And we'll be the ones that will end up pulling them out of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's another lesson come out of the fans and
life. Yeah. To go, well, they don't know what normal is. That was normal for them, right? That was normal. And but you're right. You're right. They and you've got the type of people that need to be out and doing something, you know. So everybody says, oh, the machines are going to take over and people aren't going to want to work, or you know, because they got too much money and all that. And I don't buy that. I really don't. I think there are going to be a lot of people with that are going to suddenly realize, you know what, I need to do something. And
you know, we're indicative of people that could be well and truly retired. Right?
Yes.
Well and truly retired. And we're cruising for a bruising here. Right? I don't know if you know that expression.
Oh yeah.
Out there, we want to get out there and kick some butt. You know, I mean, Maureen asked me for my latest knitting thing on how to knit booties. No, she didn't. So, you know, we're in a completely different mindset. We don't have to work, really. I mean, you know, you can scale down. We can live in a one-bedroom apartment somewhere. Sure. Hey, it's fine, you know. But what is it? There's obviously, there must be more like us who have no intention
of work.
I want to be, I said, listen, if it's good enough for Rupert Murdoch, it's good enough for me. You know, I'm like the ever-ready battery. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, that's the way I am too. I don't know how to slow down.
I think people are going to buy out. I think a lot of people are going to say, this is exciting. It's interesting. You know, I mean, if you've been the same job for the last 300 years, pushing the same pen, okay, I get it. But,
exactly. You know. Exactly. But there'll be a lot of people recreating themselves, like lawyers, judges, right? Yeah. A bunch of, you know, professionals. And I believe that they'll come and do work from their heart. I do.
That's like me when I put in my resignation last year, finally finished training nurses. And they said, are you going to retire now? I said, no, I'm starting a new career. And they looked at me like I was, what? What are you doing now?
Because most people would just
retire. You know, I'm still moving. I'm about to do what I need to do.
Yeah, because you're here to do exactly that, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody on this planet, I was asked the other day, I got a message from one of our people and he said, you know, does everybody have a mission on this planet? And I said, everybody that's alive and kicking, whether they're asleep or not, every single one of us has a mission. We chose to be here at this time and you are chosen to be here. Right? So not only did we put our hands up, but we were also chosen.
When I first met Maureen and we had a very quick conversation and realized we were on the same page, and Maureen said that she wanted to do something in the med beds situation. And I said, well, I can help you. And she looked at me. Eventually she said, I've been praying for the universe. Please send me someone that's going to help me. And here you are.
Exactly why, because you asked, right? Yep. Ask and you shall provide. Knock and the door will be opened, right?
That's right.
That's the way it goes. Okay, but we have a lot to look forward to and a great bunch of people.
Yeah. I'll give Maureen links to the Telegram channels and the whatever, and then you can
give her an email too, so she can, if she has any questions.
Because she can start the whole process. Yeah, and immerse herself in that stuff as well, because as an associate.
You can read the phase documents 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and that'll give you a good understanding of the direction of WBG.
The funding process.
Yeah, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Thank you.
And also, just to take into consideration, also the phase documents right now are actually being actually editing them right now into a booklet form. And creating an index, so it'll make it easier to look something up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And then we'll have some of them as well available on our trip, our post RV celebration.
Yeah.
So we'll have those available for people who didn't get a chance to, you know, download them to your computer, but you can download them.
I hadn't asked, I didn't get a chance to speak to Maureen about whether or not she was going to be my guest on the, to that thing. So I have to ask her and see whether or not she wants to come away.
Well, as an associate, she can come.
Yeah, well. After the RV, there's going to be a function, but I'll pay for you to go.
No, that's all right. But when?
Oh, we don't know yet, do we?
it would be after, if there's an NDA, it would be after the NDA process is done. Yeah. Whether that's
the whole process, yeah, and it's all subject to, it's subject to all that money that I've thrown into this this monopoly money,
yes,
becoming real. Otherwise, I'm moving in with Maureen. I mean, living with Maureen.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Okay. So, you guys good?
Yep.
Can I just ask, what is Glenn? What's You've said nothing, Glenn. You've been there sitting in the corner.
Yeah, I've been talking. I talked at the start and I've just been listening.
Yeah.
Let you guys speak. I haven't met you guys before. So I'll just let you guys speak.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your project? What are you doing?
Well, Luna said earlier that I was in the bird sanctuary, but I've also got quite a few other projects as well to do with animals and theme parks and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's beautiful. Plus the med center and stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And right. Audrey.
Do you have any questions, Audrey? No. No questions.
Yeah. Don't be shy. You can ask any question. Anything in the regular call.
Put it in the chat as well.
Yeah, you can, anything on the regular call or spiritual questions or phase document questions.
Yeah, anything, in other words.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can you there was someone else in the room about half an hour ago, but they've dropped out now. I can't remember who
it
was.
Yeah, that was Tina. Yeah. She's always on anyway. Sorry, Audrey, what did you say?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. I don't know how to work this. I couldn't find the button. I didn't know how to talk. I just want to say I've been listening to you on and off for a while. I've talked to Kathy. I live in Chicago, so we're
Kathy Malfis. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, we just kind of share blessings with each other in chat. You know, I'm learning a lot. From you all. I don't have any specific questions. It just sounds like stuff's happening now.
Yes, it is.
A lot is happening now.
Yeah.
And I've been a little more anxious lately. And so I'm just trying to, I've been in a prayer and
the light is already won. We are safe. So that's all you need to know. And our blessings are coming and we're going to help each other through.
The only thing I can say is probably by the end of April, the shit will have hit the fan. Let's put it that way.
Basically. Okay. Yeah, the truth will come out finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Like some of us have known it all of our lives, right? And nobody believed us, but it's showtime. So this is
we've got the tribunals happening.
Yeah.
June, July, August.
In June, yeah, it starts in June. So we know that the truth has to come out before then. And they have to allot a little bit of time, you know, that's why I think that I don't believe Trump's going to get arrested, but I think that is going to be the first domino.
Well, negative 48.
What's to follow, right, is all.
Negative 48 says there's going to be a 6-foot version of Trump arrested. Right. Trump is 6'3". So.
He
said, just check. He said,
check the height.
Just check the height and don't let go. He looks like Trump. He's a bit short for Trump.
But. We have to remember that Trump has a double, right? Or clone or both, right? Yeah.
I think I've got more than one double for what I can go.
Yeah, for sure.
You said you were already vetted by Negative 48 and JFK Senior.
Yeah.
How did that vetting process actually take place?
When? I'm not sure how Negative 48, he found us. We didn't even know he was one of our members. We didn't notice until people started telling us that he sent them. And so then we looked and we went, oh yeah, he is our member. And JFK Senior on Urban Night Girl was another one of our people.
Yeah.
And I did a podcast on there for about 7 months, twice a week.
Okay.
With her. Okay. It was the transition for people from organized religion into, you know, becoming spiritual. They were starting to get their gifts and they didn't know what to do or whatever. Anyway, we helped them kind of figure all that stuff out. And I was posting my articles on her site, and one of them, she called me right away when she noticed that JFK, who she spoke to several times, she's had some interaction with him. And he posted my article. I think it was on humanitarians working from their heart. And he posted it on his site. So she said, do you know who that was? And I said, no, I didn't know who it was. And she told me who it was. So that's how I know that we've been. And then Tom Fitton showed up 2 days later.
I don't know who Tom Fitton is. Who's he?
He's the Judicial Watch. He's in charge of the Judicial Watch in the States. So,
yeah. And he's a pretty high level.
They sent him in to have another look, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the Trump team too. So
that's we're all on the Trump team. I've been banned from Twitter.
So am I. I've been on Twitter for 3 years.
But I got back in because my daughter was living in Greece and I used her Greek mobile number, and then since then I think I had about 30,000 tweets or something. That's a lot of tweets, right? And I got banned. I think I got banned because I went onto Hillary's page and told her what I thought. And I also went on to The Economist page, which is owned by the Rothschilds, and gave them a piece of my mind, in a very academic way, by the way. Nothing about, you know, I'm not going to kill anybody. Yeah.
We
said to me, because I've written on numerous occasions.
Yeah, yeah, we know that as Twitter jail.
And I've said, I've written to them on numerous occasions saying, please reinstate my account, which, by the way, was a three-letter account because I was one of the first people to ever join Twitter because I was always involved in technology, at GJT, right? Three letters. That was it. That was me. Jack came after me, you know, and I go, I want my account back. They said to me every time they go to me, you are never, ever going to get your account back. And I thought, what good is Elon Musk if I can't get my account back? But I have another account.
I'm also banned for life as well. They will not reinstate my account.
And I just opened up another one.
Yeah, well, and I haven't bothered because I just don't care, really.
I like it because I get to push my passion, which is Trump.
I was permanently suspended in that wave after January 6th.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I was very
was 3 years ago for me.
I really only put out prayers and blessings. I sometimes I retweeted whenever children were rescued. I retweeted it with a prayer. I was shocked when I was banned. I appealed 5 times. They kept saying, no, you violated a standard. I said, could you tell me which tweet I violated and which standard, because I'm sure you must have made a mistake. I'm still permanently banned.
I love it when they come back there. You have never
I just, it doesn't matter in my world. It really didn't matter.
But it's a game. For me, it's a game, you know.
Yeah, well.
And I've been causing havoc. And my handle on Twitter is Elon Musk. Parody. Parody.
That's the price you pay for telling the truth, eh? We want to shut you up.
So it's Elon Musk parody.
Yeah. Crazy.
When he made a mistake and called himself Mr. Tweet, I made myself Mrs. Tweet.
That's awesome. All right. Okay. Well, you lovely people, it's time for us to go.
Yeah, we've got to go to bed. 3 o'clock in the morning.
Are you joking?
No. Where are you? Canada.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be up another
12:30 now.
But yeah, I'm going to be up another 2 hours.
You're up for a couple more hours.
Yeah, I got to write it. I still got to put the newsletter together. So.
Yep.
Wow, wonderful to talk to you. Okay.
All right. Nice to meet you, Maureen.
Nice to meet you all.
Nice to meet you too.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. All right. Good night then.
Yeah. You take care.